The following audio is from Sand Hills Community Church. More information about Sand Hills Community Church is available at www.sandhillschurch.org.
So, is anyone into March Madness here? Anybody in here? Okay, all six of you, okay. Yeah, my bracket is already busted. I picked University of Virginia. Does anyone else pick them? They lost by 20. I mean, it wasn't even close. So like half of America that picked the stuff, they're out. For those of you, how many of you don't care? Okay, look at that. Good grief. Okay, so it has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I just wanted to see if you guys were interested. So I got a question for you. When you were 10 years old, what did you want to be known for? Not what did you want to do with your life, but what did you want to be known for? And then fast forward to your age today, what do you want to be known for now? Okay, so I'm going to give you about 3 or 4 seconds to think, and if you think you have an answer, when you were 10 years old, what did you want to be known for? I'll just pick on a couple people here, okay? What did you want to be known for when you were 10 years old? Are you ready? Someone help me out here. Okay, first service, couldn't stop talking. What? A what? Fastest bike rider. Okay, how'd that work out? Pretty good? Okay, cool. All right, someone else? I said, yes, ma'am. Okay, a what? Cute to the boys. All right, how'd that work out? Okay, all right. Someone else, one more. What'd you want to be? Yes, back in the back. A NASCAR driver. How'd that work out? It didn't? So when I was 10 years old, I wanted to be known for this. I wanted to be a fast 100-yard dash runner because I was skinny and fast. I was called the Jewish Lightning. I was so fast. And then I went to what's called a Jewish athletic camp, which is, you know what an oxymoron is? Two terms that are incompatible, you know, like jumbo shrimp. Or Jewish athlete. If you had a Jewish almanac, it would be right, Jack. It would be like really, really small. You're like a little percentage Jewish, aren't you, in your DNA? Okay, that's very cool. I knew I liked you for that reason. So when I was 10, I wanted to be known as this very fast runner. And I was. I was in lots of competitions, and I was really good. And then I went to this Jewish athletic camp, and they tried to teach me how to do long-distance running. And, you know, I realized I couldn't do it. I just didn't have the stamina. I didn't have the drive. I didn't have the lung capacity. And then when I turned 16 years old, I just realized driving's faster. And you'll get that in a second, Willie. And I just kind of learned that this was not how I was wired to be a long-distance runner. Now, we've been in a series in 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 9, the writer Paul, he's been addressing this church. And this church has all kinds of people in it. It's got people who have not started the journey with Jesus. Then you've got some young people, younger in the faith. They're new to it. They're brand new to it. And then there's some that they've kind of mixed culture and Christianity. So they're struggling with what Paul calls carnal or being worldly. They're trying to balance and figure out the tension of living on planet Earth and how to be a Christ follower. And then there's those that he calls mature. They're growing. They're spiritually on fire. And so today, I have that same feeling this morning that we have all kinds of people here this morning, which is so cool. Some of you have not started the faith with Jesus, but you're thinking about it. And so we're just really glad you're here. And for some of you, you're struggling with that tension of being a Christ follower and how to live in culture. And some of you, you're struggling with how to be mature. And some of you are growing in your faith. And so Paul's talking about something really practical today and this morning. And my hope this morning is that you will understand one big idea. And the big idea is this. We're going to put this on the slide. The Christ-centered life isn't a sprint. Rather, it's a marathon. It's not about speed. It's about endurance. Let's say that together. Ready? The Christ-centered life isn't a sprint. Rather, a marathon. Therefore, it isn't about speed. It's about endurance. Now, for some of you, maybe you're thinking about starting this faith thing, but you're just not sure what you're getting into. And for some of you, you've gotten into it and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't know this was about this long distance stuff. I just thought this was about short speeds. And I've seen people and you've seen people, you've heard of people, you've watched people who get into this and they think it's a sprint. They think it's a 100-yard dash and they burn out, they tucker out. For some of you, you're discouraged. You've started this journey, but it hasn't been what you thought it would be. Maybe in your mind, Jesus hasn't delivered like you thought he would. And so some of you are in all kinds of different places. And we're just really glad you're here as you start to think about all this stuff. So this morning, Paul, the writer, talks about what this Christ life looks like on a very practical level. Now, anybody here like the Olympics? Could we try to get a little, okay, so you don't care about March Madness, but you've got some, okay, and so that's good, thank you. And so Paul understood the Olympics because they were happening at his time. So for those of you who are new or young in your life and you think Olympics seems really, you know, kind of new, it's not. It's been going on for centuries and centuries old. And so Paul knew what it was like to go to the stadium. He knew what it was like to watch runners and watch marathoners and watch athletes. And so our text this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn there. Paul talks about this long distance metaphor. And you will see, if you ever read the Bible, you'll see one thing that's commonly true, that growing in maturity in Christ is never about a short-term sprint. It's always about a long-term process. And so following Jesus for some of you on planet Earth, you need to understand that this is like a marathon. This is like a 26.2 run. This is not a 100-yard dash. Here's what Paul says. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Now packed in here in verse 24 through 27, only three verses, Paul is likening the Christian life to a long distance run. So if you were to say to Paul, like my opening question, what did you want to be known for? What did you want to be remembered for? Paul says this, I want to be known as a marathon runner. I want the Corinthians to be a marathon runner in their faith. I want the people called Sand Hills or visiting Sand Hills to consider today becoming a long distance runner with Jesus. So he goes on to say this, everybody who gets in this race, you run, but you don't just run to run, you run because only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get that prize. So in other words, no one starts off a race who's been trained in, who says, you know what, I'd hope to get last place, or I just hope to finish. They all get in with one mentality. And we're gonna call that today the motivation. The motivation is this, I run to win. Say that with me, ready? I run to win. I don't just run to get into it. I just don't want to do the bronze, silver, gold thing. I want to win this thing. I want to win it hard. So Paul tells us what this motivation is. I get into this race to run it. Then he goes on to say this, everyone who runs and competes in the games goes into strict training. What would it be like if you saw everyone lined up for a marathon run, and as soon as the gun sounds, everyone sits down? What would that be like if everyone just said, nah, I don't want to do this thing? No, Paul says, listen, if you're a Christ follower and you started this race, keep going, keep running, don't quit, press on. Then he goes on to say this, everyone who competes goes into strict training. That is what I'm calling the method of the marathon. The method of the marathon is strict training. Now, any athlete in the house knows this. Any house mom, house husband, whatever you do vocationally, you know it takes hard work. So we don't do the hard work to get to heaven. We actually do the hard work because we're already going to heaven. See, the prize has already been bought for you. Now, I don't really think the goal for a Christian is heaven. I think heaven is a byproduct. I think heaven is great. I look forward to it. But I think heaven is the byproduct. We don't go to heaven because we think about heaven. We don't go to heaven because we wonder about heaven or it sounds like a really fun place to be. We actually go to heaven how? By knowing God. So knowing Jesus really is your earthly goal. That is your goal, is to know Jesus. And for some of you developmentally figuring out if you're in your 10 to 20-year-old or you're a 30-year-old, you're a 40-year-old or a 6-year-old, you gotta ask yourself the question, where for me is the finish line? What is it? And that kind of keeps growing for some of us because even at my age, I'm 60-ish, and I have to figure out Where do I want to be next in my journey with Jesus? And for some of you today, you're pretty discouraged. And for some of you, you're tuckered out. And for some of you, maybe you've thrown in the towel. So Paul says this, strict training is a means to an end. A number of years ago, a guy wrote a book that was fabulous. It was so helpful for me. It was called Celebration of Discipline. The guy's name was Richard Foster. He was the first guy that came out with a book that explained that the disciplines of the Christian life are not meant to be laborious or a burden or a pain, but they're actually to be celebrated because they're means to an end, and that end is knowing God, knowing Jesus on planet Earth. Remember, heaven's a byproduct of knowing Jesus. So he mentions things like prayer and fasting and the word and solitude and getting out in nature. He mentions all these little disciplines that are helping us know God better. But for some of you, you feel the third thing I'm going to talk about. That's the marathon mistake. Paul says this, we train, they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I don't fight like a boxer. Paul says, it's not only a race, it's like a boxing match. I don't fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And some of you today feel disqualified, not worthy enough, not spiritual enough. I made a really bad decision. I really made a bad mistake. I've really sinned. I've given into an addiction or a temptation. I've really given into this. One of my friends really made a bad decision a few years ago in their marriage. And he didn't use the word disqualified, but he said, I just can't get back in this race. I've blown it. I said, no, you can be forgiven. You can get on the tracks again. You can get your tennis shoes back on and start running. He says, the shame and the guilt is just killing me. For some of you, maybe you feel that this morning. Maybe you've blown it. I've got the good news of the gospel is you can be forgiven in Jesus. He wants to help you get back in the race and start running. Put your track shoes on and get going. Paul says this, throw off everything. Throw off everything that encumbers you. Throw off that weight. Throw off that backpack. Mike Iaconelli tells a story about a kind of a chubby kid. He was about 13 years old, and he was supposed to do a one-miler, and he was way behind. He was in last place, and the mom is screaming the whole time, run faster, run faster, run faster, and the boy stops, and he goes, Mom, I'm running as fast as I can. And some of you this morning feel the same way. You're running as fast as you can. Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's not about speed. It's about endurance. Well, I want you to meet someone this morning. He's a former student of mine. He's a friend of mine. He is a marathon runner. His name is Jesse Harmon. Would you give a warm welcome to Jesse Harmon? Come on out here.
Thanks for letting me be here.
Skinny man. Look at this. Look at this guy. Look at this body. Lean and mean, 140 pounds is my guess.
Yeah, I'm not a poster child for too many people, that's for sure. So.
150.
Yeah, we can say that, ballpark.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did you get into running?
Okay, so I didn't grow up. Some people who meet me think that I just grew up and just developed a love or interest for running when I was a kid, but that's not so much the case. I didn't really start to have an interest in running until I saw a local gym advertise a 5K on their sign. And my wife and I, we had just gotten married a couple months before, and I told her, I was like, hey, the gym's got a 5K. I want to see if I could run and maybe finish it without walking. That was my goal, because up until that point, I would run maybe once, twice a week at most. While I was at CIU, I would run maybe around campus. But there was never an interest for running. I didn't think, man, this is fun, you know? So I signed up for the 5K, and I ran the 5K. And
question, 5K is what, 3 miles?
3.1 miles.
Okay.
So a little bit over 3 miles. And I ran the race and had a great experience. And if you ever heard someone say that likes running, I kind of caught the bug, so to speak. Well, after that race, I did. You know, that interest in running, I was like, man, this was a really cool experience. And so after that, I went home and I told my wife, all excited. And this was really a big change for her, because up to that point, I had never showed an interest in running. And so she, being supportive that she had to be, because we were just married, right? So she's like, all right, well, keep at it. And so a month later, I signed up for a 10K, because I'm like, well, what's next? What's longer? What else is out there?
And a 10K is?
6.2.
Okay.
Yeah, so just over 6 miles, about 6 1/4. And enjoyed it. Loved it just as much. So after that race, it was a little bit different. I came home and I told my wife, I'm going to run a marathon. And she kind of like told me, she's like, well, don't you want to work up to it a little bit? Maybe run a half before a full?
Yeah, sure.
But I'm a all-in type of guy.
That's why we have wives. You
yes.
know? That's right.
Yes. To like make us think rationally.
That's right.
So I jumped all in. And so that was October of 2006. I ran my first 10K ever. And in March of 2017, I completed my first marathon.
And marathon is 26.2.
26.2 miles or 26,385 yards. So if you,
it's interesting. Running never is, it's never like 28 or 30. It's always got to be a point, doesn't it? It's
weird. Yeah, I mean, just really to mess us up.
So you've done how many marathons?
I've completed 12 marathons, and it might be my last. I don't know if I want to try 13 with that. Everything associated with 13.
Sure.
There's no telling what will happen.
Sure. Why do runners like running that long? I mean, what is it? Is it the adrenaline? Is it, what is it that makes you guys so crazy?
Well, I feel safer to speak for myself about thinking crazy, but it's really with running, what I've seen from getting involved with the hobby or the sport is that running, you really see the benefit of the amount of work and effort that you put into it. So some people start running because of the health benefits. Some people get into it because they want to run a certain speed or a certain distance. And really, the work that I can put in, I can say, you know, if I really start to work hard at this, I'll see some really cool things happen, whether it's a weight goal, if my goal is to lose weight. If you work hard and you dedicate yourself and you're consistent with it, you'll see it. And the same thing with time goals and everything. And I think that's that's one of the benefits and the appealing things about running is it's not because someone gave you a secret way of doing something. It's like, man, I put in the work, I dedicated myself, and it's starting to pay off. Mm-hmm. And that's appealing for most people, or at least it is for me.
You've done a Boston Marathon, right?
I've run the Boston Marathon once and qualified for it twice.
Yeah, and were you at the bombing?
I was not, thankfully. I ran it the year before the bombing, and it really put things in perspective once saw everything that happened with the bombing. My wife and we have 4 kids, and our first child was born at the time. And she and my daughter, my wife and my daughter, were at the finish line videotaping, taking pictures, waiting for me to come through. And we have a picture of she and my daughter taking a picture very close to where some of the pictures of the bombing happened.
Wow.
And you're thankful because of a matter of a year, it could have been a little bit
That's
different.
Nuts.
So,
yeah.
So yeah, put things in perspective for us.
Do we have any long distance runners in the house?
All right, nobody.
Okay.
So,
so basically, they're not interested in what we're doing here.
See you later.
Okay, but we're almost done. Okay, so let me ask a relevant question that I think everyone will like. How many of you like food? Okay. All right, there we go. Okay. What kind of food do you eat before an event?
Okay. Yes. You really can vary across the board for runners because everybody's different. You have to find out what really works for you. But I am not a spaghetti guy. I cannot stand spaghetti.
How many guys like spaghetti?
All right.
So you're outnumbered.
I cannot relate to anybody in here, apparently. So, so the night before a marathon, a long race.
You don't like spaghetti?
I do not. I mean, it's just noodles. You know, it's like any flavor. I'll force down spaghetti because I've learned that it just works for me. My body likes it as a fuel because of the carbohydrate. You hear runners talk about, hey, I need to carb load or carb up. That pasta is a really good thing. So the night before, I'll eat that. And then the morning,
how many of you like spaghetti? Just want to see hands? Okay. What do you have for breakfast?
Breakfast, I'm a big pre-run breakfast eater. So I have to have something in me in order to run. And so usually my staple breakfast before a marathon, I would do 2 packets of instant oatmeal, maple and brown sugar flavor.
Any oatmeal fans? Okay.
All right.
Brown sugar?
Yes.
Okay,
all right.
Good
deal. And then probably 3 or 4 bowls of cereal to go with it.
So, what kind of cereal?
You know, I like the sugary stuff. I'm not so much of the, like, the whole grain kind of no flavor Cheerio. So if we can get some sugar in there, Fruit Loops or Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yes, Cinnamon Toast. Like yes, Cinnamon. Yes, the group is starting to feel you now. Okay.
But it's usually like Fruity Rings. We have to go generic with that.
Cocoa Puffs.
Not so much Cocoa Puffs.
Got a lot of sugar.
Yeah, yeah, it does. But yeah, so that's my staple pre-run breakfast. I just try to get the blood sugar up as much as I can, and then I run, and that's what works for me. But then post-race is important because you want to refuel with everything you lost, especially over the course of a marathon. You do lose a lot. And so we try to, if we're in a marathon in a location that has a Golden Corral, that's my favorite post-race.
Golden Corral, anybody?
Where are we going? Who's
not so much.
Who's going to lunch with me today? Okay,
okay.
So, so that works for me. If not, just really something I can get a lot of food, and nobody can tell me I have to stop because I'm really usually pretty hungry after a race.
Sure.
Yeah.
So marathoners mention hitting the wall. Could you explain what that is?
Yeah, hitting the wall, it pretty much is everything that it sounds like. So it's at a point in a marathon, you hear runners refer to hitting the wall approximately mile 18 to 22, somewhere in that distance. And really what it feels like is it takes a lot more effort to put one foot in front of the other, and your blood sugar starts to drop. Hydration is coming very minimal at that point, and when your hydration and everything begins to drop, everything starts to operate differently, and starting with your brain, and then your brain's like, you know, I really can't do this anymore. You start second-guessing yourself, and whenever it starts to shut down a little bit or revolt, your legs are like, well, if they're not, I'm not. And so it really becomes just as much effort to finish the race as it was to run that first part. You even hear marathon runners refer to the halfway point being mile 20. And if you've ever run a marathon, you can probably relate, because you have to put in as much effort or even more effort to run that last 6.2 miles as you did to run the first 20. And so, I mean, hitting the wall, it takes everything you have just to finish after you hit the wall. So
now, you started an organization, a ministry that is encouraging kids when they're young to learn how to run. Tell us about that.
Okay. That program is called Run Hard, and we work with kids in elementary school all the way through middle school. And what it is about is we train kids, we set a goal for them to finish a 3.1 mile or a 5K road race by the end of the 8 weeks. And we say, if you work hard, if you set that goal and you work hard towards that goal, you'll be able to achieve it by race day. And what we want to do with these kids is we want to build a strong foundation, a strong platform to help them understand what potential they have when they work hard. And so we train them from a physical level to work hard towards finishing that 5K. But over the course of those 8 weeks, we also teach them about values that we believe and we've seen help them understand and achieve that success. Values like how to be a good teammate, how to develop good work ethic, how to show positive peer pressure and not negative peer pressure, how to make wise choices. Because we feel like that whenever we train these kids to finish a 5K and they achieve something that they didn't think was possible at the beginning of the program, then they begin to understand something different about themselves. And it's really exciting to see these kids as they come across the finish line and they have these eyes that just glow and they accomplish something that they never thought possible. And they begin to see, you know what? If I can do this by working hard, nobody did this for me. My parents didn't do this for me. They didn't carry me across the finish line. It's something I did. Then they begin to develop a new self-confidence about themselves. And I'll share this story with you about I went to go visit a site in elementary school, and we were about to earn our shirt. The program shirt says Run Hard, and the kids get excited about it. And You have to run a mile and a half, complete it during the practice. And this girl, she was hesitant. She was scared. She was nervous because she had never run that far before. And walking out to our track we were going to run, I asked her, I was like, you think you can do this? She's like, I don't know. I'm kind of nervous and everything. I was like, you know, just being encouraging to her.
Sure.
And then we ran, and I saw her coming back in with one of her teachers, and she was excited. Her teacher was excited. And walking back into the classroom, I said, you didn't think you could do that, could you? And she's like, no, I didn't, but yeah. I was able to finish. And you know, it was so rewarding to see almost like a paradigm shift within that little girl's brain about what she thinks she can do now because of something she did, not because somebody else did it for her.
Yep.
And I'm a firm believer that earlier you can give a kid confidence and self-confidence, who knows what they can do with their life.
Yep.
And so it's really exciting to see what happens in these kids' lives whenever they go through the program. So that's what the Run Hard program is
about. Has running helped you understand this long distance marathon as far as our faith?
Oh, in a big way, in multiple levels. Because in running, what you benefit most from whenever you start is just the consistency that you have to have with it in order to not necessarily be good at it, but to reap the benefits from it. And the same way, like when I began to follow Jesus, I was a young teenager at a camp, and I decided to follow Jesus. That's where I wanted to go. That's what I want to follow for my life. But you know, the camp experience is all flashy and fun, and you have friends, and it's easy to be a Christian. And then, like, whenever you go home, it's completely different. And, you know, the discipline that I have to have every day and just the consistency of reading the Bible, of praying, helped so much because as a runner, it's easy to buy the flashy neon shoes to start with, you know, and look really good whenever you start. But the next day when you wake up, you're going to feel like, man, my legs hurt.
Yeah.
And then you start complaining to your spouse. You're like, man, my legs hurt. And so it's kind of like, oh, man, they hear you complaining and everything. And you have to realize that it just takes a lot of consistency in running the same way. And that's how it overflows into my spiritual life well. Is like, I just have to keep going because every day is not race day. Mm. And many times whenever you're running, it's a grind.
That's good.
And it just takes time and time where you can celebrate race day. In the same way with my spiritual life, more days are tough than it is a big celebration.
Yes.
And so that's what running helps me remember about my spiritual life.
We appreciate you being here. Have you ever heard of Julie Moss?
I've never heard of Julie Moss.
She's a 23-year-old girl that ran a Ironman, Ironwoman, 140, not just 140, it's always got to be a point, 140.6 miles. It's a swim, run, bike, you finish with the running. She's winning, but she comes to the end and she falls apart. Let's watch this clip.
While there had been a lead change among the women, 23-year-old Julie Moss, the former college student from Los Ojos, California, had moved ahead of Pat Hines.
Moss came to the Ironman as a college student, just trying to get a degree. No one could have imagined she'd find herself in the lead so late in the race.
Hey, bud! Find out how far back she is for me!
The she Moss was asking about was Kathleen McCartney, who was in second place in the women's event, nearly 20 minutes behind Julie when the marathon began. As night fell in Kailua Kona, an exhausted Julie Moss was clearly in trouble. Back on her feet, but again her body said no more. Moss would walk methodically down Alihi Drive, now just a few hundred yards from the finish line. Just 30 yards from victory, Moss fights against a body that is shutting down. ABC's cameras captured this drama. Moss struggled, trying to balance as if on an earthquake. Her worst fears were realized as Kathleen McCartney runs past her into first place, just yards from the finish. Unsure of her position and what had happened, McCartney had to be told she'd won by race volunteers at the finish. Moments later, Julie Moss crawled to the finish line in one of the most memorable moments in the history of ABC's Wide World of Sports. Millions of Americans watched mesmerized by Moss's courage and determination.
Julie Moss, 23 years old, crawls across the finish line after 140.6 miles. Run with endurance. What they remembered about that event, it wasn't what place she got, it's that she finished. My son, Andrew, is an animal expert and informs me that there's one animal that's built for a marathon run. It's the wolf. The wolf. Andrew's got a little book there to show me. Thank you, buddy. The gray wolf. Scripture tells us, I press on toward the goal with the prize of what God has called me in Christ Jesus. Run with perseverance that the race is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus who endured the cross, who endured such opposition. Do you recognize the word endure? Endure, endure. This morning, I want to pray for you. I invite the band to come forward now. And I'd like you to consider this morning taking a step. I'm not going to ask you to come down. I'm going to ask you in a minute or two to stand up so I can pray for you. For some of you, this is day one to start the race. It's time to come into a relationship with Jesus. For some of you, you've started that, but you were discouraged, or some of you feel disqualified. For some of you, you've just thrown in the towel. You need the oxygen as a runner, but you've lost interest in Scripture. You've lost interest in the Word. Or you need that prayer. And you need the Holy Spirit to guide you and restart you, reignite you. Every runner understands that. For some, you've hit the wall. You may have made a bad decision, and today's a new day for you. Isaiah tells us this, behold, I come to do new things. St. Corinthians says, I want to make you a new creation. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are new. So I'd like you to bow your head with me. I'd like you to pray with me. I'm not asking you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to do anything weird. We wouldn't do that to anybody. But I am going to ask you to take a step. For some of you, if the Holy Spirit's tugging on you, say, you know, it's time for me to get into this race. Time for me to put on the running shoes. Or like kind of Julie Moss, I'm just right now crawling. Or like that little overweight kid who said, I'm running as fast as I can. Today, would you let Jesus start something new in you? Would you allow him to give you a new start, a new energy, a new surge? Behold, I make all things new. If you're discouraged, thrown in the towel, or you feel like throwing in the towel, or you're not motivated, it's like, I don't even want to run this race anymore. In fact, I don't even know how to even desire what God desires. This morning is for you. If the Lord is grabbing your heart to say, it's time to start new today. This prayer is not a quick fix, it's not a cure-all, but it's a step. For some of you, it's your marriage. God wants you to take a step today. He's not going to fix it all, but it's a step. That's what racing's about. It's about a step. If you need that touch today, I'd like to pray for you. All across this room, would you consider standing up so I can pray for you? If you're discouraged, you need new hope. All across this room, God bless you guys. Anybody else? No manipulation, no guilt, no emotionalism. Just, I need God this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Would you do something a little bit police-ish? Would you put your hands out like this? You are standing just like this. Kind of a cop comes behind you. We've got a policeman on site today. He comes behind you and you just say, I surrender. Is anybody else that needs to stand so I can pray for you? Father, you see their hands, you see their hearts, and they're asking you to do something new and dynamic this morning. And so all of us here, if one of your friends is standing, would you just kind of reach out your hand in prayer and faith? Say, Lord, today is a brand new day. I leave today with a new spring in my step, a new start that I didn't have when I came in here. For those of you who say, God can never forgive me, He's forgiving you. Just receive it. Ask Him. For you who need a new experience with God through Jesus, would you receive it? If you need new hope today, would you receive that? David, you don't understand my situation. You're right, I don't. But I know my Jesus, who wants to meet you and connect with you where you are, in your suffering, in your pain, in your joy. Would you allow Him to meet you right now? He endured the opposition. Remember that. Didn't feel good on the cross. It wasn't an emotional high or a tickling feeling. It was tough. So, Father, right now we ask you in the name of Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, to meet us where we are, to ignite something in our souls that we haven't felt in a long time, and that you would do something in our lives, that you would restore the joy of our salvation, that you would give us a new passion for your word, for prayer, to be a representative of you. God, put a blessing now on all those who are standing, all those that aren't standing, I put a blessing on them of faith, hope, and love. Lord, give us that passion that we haven't had in a while. Give us that endurance that has dissipated. And now we receive it by faith. We started this journey by faith. We continue to walk this journey in faith. And we pray all these things now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Sandhills Community Church. Feel free to share this with others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information, please visit our website at www.sandhillschurch.org.